So I'm compelled to begin the homily with the words with which I began the introduction to the Mass. Words from Isaiah where so eloquently, so powerfully, so clearly, so categorically he says, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. I don't know if you heard this, but Pope Francis made a very heroic decision just a few days back. See, sitting off of St. Peter's Square next to the Vatican is a beautiful 19th century Vatican Palace. It's prime property. A lot of tourists pay a lot of money to stay very close to this palace. And because of its prime location, it has the potential to command top dollars if it could be converted into a hotel. And in fact, that is what people were recommending. This could be great revenue for the Vatican. Pope Francis had other ideas. He has converted it into a homeless shelter. One of the residents, his name is Brezza, recently his leg was amputated, and he lives on a $300 monthly disability allowance in Italy. And he's one of the residents now of this 16-room homeless shelter that gives refuge to about 60 people. So on the one hand, you have Isaiah really inviting us to live a certain way, and then you have the example of Pope Francis. And I'm wondering, what might the scriptures be saying to the church across the globe today? Here are my 3 points for reflection, and I'm sure in the past month you've missed 3 points. Let me talk about the poor in the scriptures. And the question I ask is, what does God have to do with the hungry? What does God have to do with the homeless, the naked, the afflicted? Now, in a homily of this length, it's impossible to cover comprehensively how God relates to the poor. But we have some ideas that we can reflect on. So, for example, if you begin with the Exodus story, we know on whose side God was on. Here are people who've been slaves and they cry out to God. And Exodus tells us that the cry of the poor reached God's ears. And God intervenes on behalf of the most helpless. God acted in favor of the oppressed Hebrew slaves. Now, especially because the Hebrew people knew poverty, because they knew homelessness, because they knew nakedness, because they knew affliction, the Mosaic tradition, which is the Mosaic laws that developed later, was very sensitive to the poor. And I have about 10, 15 scripture passages here from the Mosaic law that really invites people to be generous towards the poor. We don't have time to go through all of those. However, the words of the psalmist, Psalm 134, clearly captures what the biblical tradition is about the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord, and we sing that in church often, don't we? The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Now, besides the Mosaic tradition, there is also the prophetic tradition. The prophets speak out in favor of the poor. And you have an example, a great example today. Isaiah says, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation and malicious speech. If you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. The people of Israel to whom these words are being proclaimed were just returning from the Babylonian exile back into the promised land. As they begin this new life, God is telling them how their gloom can become like day, like midday. How? By taking care of the afflicted. Now, Jesus himself in the Gospels did not merely just care about the poor, the lepers, the lame, the blind, the widowed, but also warned his disciples of the dangers of wealth. So to answer my question that I began this first point with, in the biblical tradition, the poor are central to the story of salvation. Central. My second point. I'm going to use some lengthy phrases over here, and let me just introduce to you right at the beginning. I want to say that Christianity presents, and this is the long phrase, a countercultural Christian social narrative. Let me explain. Every society has a social narrative. In other words, it's how human social existence is narrated today. How is it recorded today? How do people think that society exists and lives on today? It's called the social narrative. Now, whereas the narrative is important, perhaps more crucial is how the narrative gets written. In other words, who writes the narrative? Who's the one who dictates how society is functioning today? Almost always, the social narrative is dictated by the rich and the powerful. Because if you have money, you have power, right? So our political leaders, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Bill Gates, Tim Cook, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, these are the people who dictate and influence the social narrative. Poor people do not make headlines. Scores of them live in misery and poverty. Millions of them die each day simply because they cannot afford life. But those stories don't dictate the social narrative because they're insignificant. But there is a counter narrative, the gospel narrative. Who dominates the gospel narrative? The blind, the lame, the hungry, the lepers, the sinners, those on the fringes of society, those who are outcast by the rich and the powerful are the heroes in the gospel. In fact, Jesus himself was poor and he was thrown out of the city and crucified as an outcast. Who's the hero of the gospel? The poor and the outcast. I believe that Pope Francis is rewriting the social and the ecclesial. What I mean by ecclesial? The church narrative. He's rewriting it. He had the opportunity to turn this Vatican palace into a hotel, but he transforms it into a homeless shelter. What is he doing? He's presenting the countercultural Christian narrative, because that's the gospel narrative. Folks, as the gospel reading invites us to be salt of the earth and light of the world, I believe Pope Francis is showing us the way. I hope the church in the United States takes notice. I hope you and I take notice. Thirdly, the most critical reality of the biblical teaching on the poor is the link that it creates between Israel's care for the poor and its own well-being. So you heard what Isaiah said, right? then your light shall break forth like the dawn. When you fed the hungry, clothed the naked, sheltered the homeless. It's conditional. If you do these things, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall be quickly healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." Even our answer to our prayers, which we expect God to give to us, depends on how much we take care of the poor. In the Gospels, this link is even stronger. Remember the story of Lazarus, the poor man, and the rich man? Lazarus finds eternity. The rich man, on the other hand, is denied eternity because he did not care for the need of the poor. In that great judgment scene, who are the ones who are invited into the kingdom? Whenever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it to me, and those are the people invited into communion. In other words, there is a link. There is a direct link between the church's response to the poor and salvation. So really, we have to pay attention to what it means to be light of the world and salt of the earth. Folks, today, I think the scripture readings are inviting us to reflect on a lifestyle which is very selfless. Where we are not focused on ourselves, but we are focused on those around us who are afflicted. Where do we learn that from? From Jesus on the altar. He who became poor, he who was rich and became poor, so that we who are poor in our poverty might find salvation. And what does he do? Breaks himself. So that you and I who need salvation, you and I who are poor, not financially, but we who need salvation, without God we would not be anywhere, the poor people, that we might find a way to be saved. That's Jesus Christ. So to be salt and to be light, we must be like Christ. Let us pray that we as a parish community will be a people, and we individually might be a people, that as a nation we might be a people that takes care of the poor, the afflicted, the homeless, the naked. People of God said,